I don't think ethically I could make business content without talking about how hard it still is for me. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fallacy. I also think that that's not good for people to think that they're going to get to some point where business is easy. It's just not true. And I would feel really badly if people watched my content and thought that was what was going to happen.
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a $1 billion portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
You have a goal of getting from $100 million net worth to $1 billion. You're documenting the journey. You know, how do you feel like you're doing right now? Like, are you on track to that goal, or what's kind of the current bottleneck in your universe?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I tend to have long time horizons.
Yeah.
So in the projections that I laid out for acquisition.com, you know, it's funny. A lot of people were like, if you guys aren't at $1 billion in two, three years, what are you doing? You know? And I was like, I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that because you've succeeded in the past, it's going to be easier this time. And I think it's easier in that you know what to expect, but I think it's harder in the way that you expect it to be easier. And I really prepared myself for, like, building businesses is a key strength of ours, but we are not investors. And so I think there's going to be a learning curve. Mm-hmm. So I factored in grace time for myself in the first couple of years of, like, we're probably going to have to dial in our investment thesis. And so that's definitely happened. It's changed a lot over the last 2 years. And I feel now much more confident in, you know, I would say, like, an investment thesis is equivalent to, like, product market fit.
Yeah.
Than I did 2 years ago when we started. And it's professionalized a lot. And so I do think we're on track. And I think I feel like this is the most clear I felt about the business since we started it. I actually took pretty much this last quarter to do a lot of thinking and reflecting. Actually, our last quarterly planning, we left without a plan because...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was really interesting. But, you know, the team brought some interesting stuff to the table, and I am not the type of person that ever makes a decision on the spot or mm-hmm. surrounded by other people or when I'm tired and time constrained. Mm-hmm. And then when I had a lot to think about, I was like, there's a lot of... Honestly, I think we're overwhelmed with opportunity. And so because of that, it's really hard to decide, like, what opportunities do we want to capitalize on, mm-hmm. Which is not a problem I've ever had and also one I prefer, but it's a problem nonetheless. And so that was what I did for the last quarter. And I think I came out of it with a really clear plan for what needs to happen.
Yeah. That's one thing I find over the years is that the approach to kind of an end of the year reflection, you know, and kind of like going deep on, you know, what's gone well, what hasn't, doing an energy audit, what stuff's giving you energy, draining your energy, the more kind of conscious of those things you can be
yeah.
and slow down going into the next year is something yeah. that I find, you know, when you do that right, you really get going into the next year that much stronger. And those years that you kind of just breeze over it or you rush it or you give yourself 2 days over the holidays to just kind of look at it, you kind of go into the year and you're sort of screwed. I'm
yeah.
curious on your side, like, what does your kind of quarterly review system look like on a personal level and then on a business level? And how's that, like, evolved over the years?
Yeah. Well, as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, I'm really bad at that, man. I'm so, like, one of my friends, he jokes that he worries about, like, anytime he tells me or gives me a suggestion, because I do shit immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, let's
yeah, I'm the
see
same
if it
way.
Works.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. okay, good idea. Let's just do this. And I'm like, slow down.
Right. And so for me, slowing down is the harder thing for me to do. And I think, especially because I think I got to a good rhythm when we had Gym Launch. And then when we were selling it, there was so much strategic thinking time to reflect. And then when I got back into acquisition.com, I was like, holy crap, I'm back in, like, it's me. I don't have a team of 100 people. And I had to switch gears, which was hard at first. And I think now I've come to a point where I was just saying today, like, I do my team a disservice and this business and everyone else who believes in us if I don't take more time to do these things right now. And I didn't do it last quarter because I was playing CFO. I had a CFO
oh, really?
Retired. The new one couldn't come for a couple months.
It was
a whole, yeah, right. And so.
In the midst of the book launch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some real shit.
And so it was really like running on E, you know what I mean? And I think I did the business a disservice and probably set us back a couple months because I was not allocating my time properly. And I felt the pain of that. And so I was like, I can't do that again. So for me, what it looks like now is one, you know, looking at going into the next quarter, I've dedicated myself like one day a week. I want, it's even hard to say a lot, like nothing on the calendar, which is like, if you see my calendar.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, I'm going to try because I really think that right now what's needed is I need more time to reflect and also do deeper thinking work to help my team mm-hmm. step up. Like I have 10 leadership, you know, roles that report to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've put enough time into them, to developing them, to reflecting on where I need to help them. And I look at that as like one of my biggest areas of leverage. Also our businesses, reflecting on where we are with the strategy on each one, where can I help? Where can we adjust? Where are we, you know, remaining too stagnant? We need to change something. Where are we changing too much? It's just a lot of things I think require more thinking than the last businesses I ran. And so that's my, how I've been doing that. In my approach to the quarter, it starts usually, I mean, you probably know this too. It's like, it starts 6 to 8 weeks before the quarter ends, right?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you know, looking at our 3-year objectives and our 12-month objectives, you know, pressure testing, are these still the objectives? Mm-hmm. That starts, I would say, minimum 6 weeks ahead of time. And I run that through with the executive team. We're beating that up. And then I'm bringing that to the leadership team and pressure testing it again there. And then from there, looking at our progress towards our quarterly objectives as a company and as individuals, and saying, like, a lot of times I reflect on, are we even efficient? Like, are we even good at setting goals? You know, right. If too many people don't hit them or too many people hit them, then it's like, you know what I mean? The ratio is a little off. I want to make sure that we're setting the right goals for the company. And then it's going into the plan with like, okay, if there are things that need to be reconsidered, I will wipe my calendar and I will dedicate time to just think and work through it. And a lot of that involves making phone calls, talking to people, calling advisors, mentors. And if that's not, then I'm thinking, okay, we are on the right track, doing the right things. What else can we do to accelerate this? How can we get there faster? How can we get there in a way that creates more wins for more people? Like, how can we make it better?
Yeah.
I like to say, like, how can we upgrade what we're currently doing? And then I like to put that to the team and ask them for their thoughts and get all of that, gather all the information. I also survey the whole team and then take all of that in, digest it, and then bring it to the quarterly. I'll be honest, it's a really different process than I even used with my last companies, because I think that for a lot of the time that I ran a few of them, I only had a couple of people whose jobs were to think and to develop strategy. And now I have a lot of people who are able to do that and whose insight I want on multiple levels of the company. And so it's different. And I've been vocal with the company about how I have to adjust how I operate to accommodate it.
Yeah. It sounds like we're very similar. It's like you get into the next opportunity and like you're saying, like you think it's going to get easier, and sure enough, like you end up amping it up a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, you want to like push the envelope more, whatever extra bit of energy or comfort you have now that you've kind of been around the block. You're like, all right, well, I got to make up for that by doubling the discomfort in some area or another. And I think it's our job as we enter a new year, kind of asking our team and asking ourselves, like, how can we just push that little bit more? Because you kind of like, you play that out over the long term. And you know, you're getting 2-3 years of accelerated progress if you can just every quarter just be cranking it up.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more.
100%.
On your side, like what's the areas that you're kind of looking at your team to kind of like, hey, is it more content? Is it growing the audience bigger? Is it more deal flow? Is it the types of deals you're doing? Like what are the areas right now that you're like, these are the levers that we really need to throttle more?
There's a couple. I would say that when it comes to acquisition.com, okay, I would say there's a problem with your question itself, which is the one that I plan to tackle this year, which is that people see Alex and Layla and acquisition.com as one entity. And I realized that I was growing, and so was Alex, frustrated with that perception. And so one of my large initiatives this year is to separate those entities.
Okay.
Acquisition.com, Alex actually has far less to do with it than I think people recognize.
Okay.
But because his brand is so prominent, obviously he's involved in the strategy and all that. But like the day-to-day and a lot of the things that we're doing now, it's much more me and the team. And we've had this conversation and said like how, because I think that people see Alex, think acquisition.com. And I think that Alex has so many other things that he's going to be pursuing that it doesn't make sense to to also have him so tied closely with acquisition.com.
I'm kind of shocked hearing you say this. I had no idea that this was the case.
I think most people don't. Okay. It's probably the first one I've said it too. So the way I see it is that acquisition.com, Alex is going to make more associations with other things.
Oh, cool.
And Layla only is going to associate with acquisition.com.
Okay.
Because I am only going to do one thing. Alex and I are different that way. Like I want one thing I want to focus on. He likes to have multiple things. And I think we can facilitate that environment. And he knows that that's always been the goal. But in order for that to make a lot of sense, there has to be more of me associated with acquisition.com, which means I also need to make more content because I don't. I prioritize acquisition.com, my team, Alex's brand above everything I do for myself. Because I've never seen the need. But now when I understand, now that I understand brand and associations, I see that I need to associate more with acquisition.com. Alex doesn't need to associate less. He just also needs to associate with these other things that he's going to be announcing in the next 30 days.
Nice.
And so that's the first piece is I want my team and acquisition.com to become its own brand. And I want it to be, and I have an entire plan for how I want to do that with them and how I want to create the team of acquisition.com and acquisition.com as its own entity is strong. It doesn't need Alex and Layla because it is, that's the reality, but it's not reflected in the outer world. And so that's my first initiative from a brand standpoint. That starts with, we are separating our content teams. So there's going to be Alex, Layla, and then there's going to be acquisition.com.
Okay.
And right now we're making a lot of progress for the Alex and Layla because we've been sharing. And then we're going to be bringing in people for the acquisition.com as soon as like these two are separate. That's the first piece. The second piece is, I think for acquisition.com, it's looking at what companies can we add the most value to, but we can also get the most value from. There's a lot of companies that we can add an exorbitant amount of value to, but the return on effort for us is very low over a long enough time horizon.
Right.
So I can take a company and it can go from, you know, 3 million to 25 million. And then I guess we can sell it. And then because we're minority and then I have a whole team and it, okay, well, if we did that with a company that was five times the size, what would the return on effort be?
Right.
And so,
yeah, you back it out and your hourly rates is not what you're looking for.
Exactly. And so I think right now what I've seen is that there is an opportunity for us to help smaller businesses and larger ones by acquiring platform companies and then using those platform companies to acquire companies below them.
That's
because
awesome.
What we built with, you know, our last company was a platform company. We understood what that looked like. We know what to look for in those. And we understand a lot of verticals that are adjacent to what we built. And a lot of our deal flow is the nodes. And so that's my focus right now is what are our next two platform companies? And I want to have those acquisitions done by the end of 2024, but I only want two because they're big. And I want to, like, the whole thesis has gone into less and deeper. Yeah. So it's like, we want to have less companies and we want to go deeper on the ones that we do have.
Guys, I just want to take a quick break to thank all of you for listening to the show so far. If you enjoy what you're listening to, I would be so grateful if you would just consider leaving me a review or even sharing it with somebody who you think would love to hear the kind of content. As you can see, I don't run ads on here, so the only way that this show grows is if we can continue to make awesome content, and the only way I can do that is through you liking, subscribing, and rating. All right, let's get back to it.
I'm going through a little bit of a similar challenge with FounderOS right now. You know, I built up FounderOS as a community and a platform, kind of starting off largely off my own personal brand.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of building that up and then building the reputation around FounderOS as kind of an ancillary part of, oh, Matt does this other thing.
Yeah.
And then there comes a certain point where you kind of want that thing just to, you know, live onto itself by itself. And it's I think it's a tricky, like, middle process. It's kind of like that, you know, the middle journey of anything. Like, people sometimes like end up forgetting about it, but in the middle, it's a bit sticky.
Yeah.
You know, and like you're in that pace right now where it's like, oh yeah, like Alex is doing this and I'm doing that. Like, this will, no, you'll look back in 10 years and everyone's going to know acquisition.com of as like the Berkshire of its area, you know, but this is just that kind of messy middle of the journey where it's like, oh yeah, we're just trying to disassociate ourselves from that right now. How do you kind of plan on, you know, ensuring that's a smooth transition? Like, what is the vision for acquisition.com, like, from a brand standpoint? Is it like a Berkshire of its area, or is it, how do you look at that?
I think there's a couple things, which is, one, in terms of ensuring the transition is smooth, the way that I did it in Gym Launch was instead of, you know, Alex was the primary face of Gym Launch. Instead of saying, I'm going to remove Alex, I just said, I'm going to keep Alex as involved as he is and add in other people.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too. It's just like get other instructors, start to make this kind of like founder school essentially.
Yes. And then basically they're getting a bonus because they're getting more of other things. And so, you know, I look at it right now as like the first piece is like, you know, I think to accurately display my involvement with acquisition.com on all of the materials on the website, on things like that, in the videos. And so we're going towards more of Layla being more heavily associated first, but not taking Alex out of anything, just having an equal distribution of that. And then I have a plan for basically content capture for the whole team so that we can get much more content of the people that are on our leadership team, executive team. And then I envision it as for those who want it and it makes sense, you know, they will start to be personalities that can ascend and they can, the group of us are what make up acquisition.com, you know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it kind of reminds me of almost like a Barstool Sports. And just in terms of like the fact that they have all these different personalities behind this kind of brand that all do their own shtick, you know?
Yeah.
Like you could have like the content guy with Caleb and then have more diligencing type people that are just good at that or so on
totally.
And so forth.
Totally. And I think it's funny because we've been approached multiple times for like, we want to do a TV show. And they've like interviewed some of our team and like, they're like, dude, everyone could be on TV here. Like, because a lot of people have really cool personalities, you know, they're super funny, super animated, whatever. And we're like, yeah, but then we would have to like have a TV show and that kind of sounds like it would suck. But it gave me the idea. And I was like, you know, our team, I think a lot of them are not just really good at their jobs, but I think naturally, maybe it's just like the kind of personalities I'm drawn to, I think have great personalities that I think would draw in a lot of people. And I think the times when people do meet our team, they're like, holy shit, these people are so smart. And I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you, they're smarter than me. You know what I mean? But it's just like, if you don't have access to that, then, you know, perception is reality. So yeah, that's the piece of the smooth transition that I think I feel really good about, just adding more of me and then more of the team.
Right. In terms of the overall distribution of content, he just makes up, even at his current capacity of content he's releasing, it's still just like 15% now of the total, you know, pie of content coming out from acquisition.com versus, you know, you rewind 2 years, he was maybe 60, 70, 80% of it. So
that, yeah. And then he has a really large deal that he's been securing, a partnership. And so he's going to also be a part of another company.
Nice.
And so I think he's going to be having content come out that's going to be in relation to that company that he's really excited about. And I am as well.
Nice.
And I think that will then also show like, I think a lot of what reality is, which is like, he has a lot of other things happening and going on.
Yeah. And so when you look at the platform side of things, you know, it's really interesting. And I think there's like massive sort of network effects and different sort of like long-term leverage you're looking to build with that. It seems like you're kind of, yeah, initially was looking to acquire different, you know, in the first 6 months, you know, whether it's digital products, e-learning type businesses, ed tech.
Yeah.
And obviously you've kind of gone, you know, upstream, like what's bigger than that, or let's actually acquire platforms and then roll these, like you say, nodes into them.
Yeah.
What are the criteria that you're looking for then in these platforms? Like, are we talking like the next Kajabi type platform then that these guys would actually put their courses and stuff on, or how do you kind of look at that? Or is it payment platforms or?
Yeah, really interesting. So when I say platform, I mean a business that is a platform business for private equity means that it could facilitate acquisitions beneath it.
Hmm.
So for us, we have chosen the niche of brick and mortar. You know, we have gone really away besides a couple of companies, I would say like two, that are still in the portfolio that are of our old niche that I think have are even transforming into businesses that are not like business education. But the difficulty with those businesses, I'll just say, is like they are, when you buy a business that is small, less than 5 million in EBITDA, it is more dependent on the founder than the business. And you probably know this, like, once the business is, you know, let's say it's doing 10 or 15 million EBITDA, you can take the founder out and the business still runs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a minority partner. We partnered with people who had smaller businesses. The businesses were more dependent on them. We don't have control over some of the things they're doing. We say, we think this is what makes the most sense. They choose to ignore it, tank the business. Doesn't take too many of those for me to say F- this.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very punishing event. I would like to avoid that in the future.
Totally.
And so for me,
especially when you're so heavily invested, not just in that capital, but just the amount of time and the advice and the agony, and then to see all of that just go to waste, you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, and dude, like, and the thing is like, I think it's funny. Like we were talking about, I was like, man, I always have the mentality of like, I'm going to give so much more than they're ever going to expect. And I'm going to, and then it's like, and then I'm like, what are you doing? You just tanked the business. Like after 2 years of pouring your heart and soul, and like, I can't do anything, you know, cause I didn't protect myself enough.
Right.
And, you know, I think I also, I was ignorant going into it, you know, with some of the first, you know, times we did it, I thought more about them than about myself during the deal. Mm-hmm. And I think I've come to realize that there's a lot of dynamics at play that I'm just never going to be able to mitigate, no matter like how good of a person I think I am, or like how pure my intentions are, or like how much I really help them. I think that it's just tough if you're a minority partner. Mm-hmm. And I think that going into it, so much has changed that makes that very difficult for us. Specifically having notoriety. Like it was a problem for some people. Like as Alex started to gain, specifically him, like really blow up his brand, it didn't sit well with some people.
With the portfolio guys?
Mm-hmm.
What part of that would not go well? I feel like maybe the part that wouldn't is that he's maybe not promoting them while he's growing, or what would be the part that would be off-putting? Or I guess he's more focused on himself than the businesses would be the person. I don't know.
I think like, people say whatever they're going to say, right. But you know what,
people are
going
to talk and gather some issue one way or another if they want to.
What I gather from it is that makes him less relatable to them. Maybe brings out insecurities.
Yeah.
You know, and so I talked to people, friends of mine that are famous investors, and I was like, "Has this?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, are you kidding me? You didn't know?" And I was like, "Oh my god," you know, because when we first started, like it wasn't like we were super well known, and so that as well as. Now, I think there's many more people looking at what we're doing. We realize that our brand is a huge advantage, and I would like to have companies that I really want to promote, showcase that these are companies I love and I'm invested in. But if you do that with a company and it 5X is their company, okay, well, if I only own a minority stake and then you also don't do these things and then you fuck it up for all these customers I sent your way... So a lot of things have led me to the conclusion, and our portfolio companies know this, that now we're just looking for platform companies where they've already proven that the company is a viable company. They have a good track record. They're stable. They're not dependent on a founder, and that we can take majority of, because I don't feel comfortable putting our brand behind something I don't have complete control over. I just don't. And that's just a preference of mine. I'm probably just like too much of a control freak. I'm just like,
yeah.
Because for me, it's like the worst fear is that we promote a company and there's a terrible customer experience. Like that, I just can't sit with, you know? Even during the book launch, you know, there was stuff that happened with like FedEx that was like outside of our control, but like then they're like, you acquisition.com. And I'm like, my God, it's FedEx. But like, you just feel awful, you know? And yeah, it's like, I never want that. So that has changed a lot of how I look at acquiring businesses. And I think that it also, when you're buying a platform company, it makes it a really clean deal because they want money and I want the business. And in a minority, it's like, I want help to grow. What do you define as help? Mm-hmm. And I want you to help.
And also, why don't you know how to grow? Like there's right. a whole, like, what?
And also, you know. Are you going to be compliant with my recommendations?
Right.
And there's a lot of things that are tough in that arena that it's like, it's worked out really well for a few. But it also feels punishing when it doesn't work out. And so I realize I'm really good at running companies and our team is really good at running companies and we should just buy them and run them.
Yeah. It's really interesting to hear kind of in a way like the dark side of, you know, growing these things and growing an audience and, you know, a level of like fame, if you want to call it, or just notoriety or whatever. You know, I think a lot of people... like you don't see that on the surface, you know, like on the surface, like everything looks like it's going well. The book launch looks like it's going smooth. The acquisitions seem like, yeah, it's coming along. Like you're being super selective of the 40,000 people that have applied. You've done your 18 deals or so, like things are moving along, but there's always like, yeah, just an underbelly to all this stuff. And I've dealt with the same stuff. Like, you know, you're just posting content online, you're helping people, no big deal. But in the background, one thing's going on or someone's complaining about this or, hey, that's my thing or whatever, right? Like there's always some stuff, you know, how do you kind of deal with that? Like yourself? Like, I think we all on the surface, it's easy to say, oh, you know, we have thick skin. It's nothing. you know, you just learn not to give a fuck about what people think. But like, I'm curious on your side, like, how do you kind of...
I just think everyone's bullshit and that nobody tells the truth and nobody talks about how hard business is. And I actually just like really feel motivated by like, I try to do the vlogs and I try to make content where I'm talking about like the shit that sucks and is hard, because every friend of mine that is like multi-billionaire, whatever, worth billion, like they're like these people that they look at people on like, they don't even have a real business. Like they can, cause they're like, they wouldn't be that, like, it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, for me, I'm just speaking the truth, stating the facts. Yeah. And that's all I'm ever going to do. I think there's a few things, which is for me, I don't think ethically I could make business content without talking about how hard it still is for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think that that is, I think it's a fallacy. I also think that that's not good for people to think that they're going to get to some point where business is easy. It's just not true.
Yeah.
And I would feel really badly if people watched my content and thought that was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't feel good about that. I want people to watch my content and it makes their life better in the short term and the long term, right?
I completely kind of resonate with too. Like, you know, like every time a new solution comes up or a new milestone you hit, there's always like, well, then the next challenge, right? Like delegating a certain part or finding that right hire, or like as you're growing, everything's going well, but then your CFO leaves randomly and now suddenly you're taking everything on. So yeah, it's about painting that real picture, because yeah, the realness of it is that it doesn't really get any easier. If anything, you kind of keep on going after bigger and bigger challenges. Hopefully you're more skilled and more capable as you grow, but there's still, you know, horrible days and horrible things that go on.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how I cope with that is, I think, just absolute pure acceptance. There's this meme that I joke and I send to Alex all the time. And it's like, someone goes to hand a guy like pills and alcohol. He goes, no, like my drug of choice is suffering. And I relate to that so much, because like, I don't do anything to cope. I just like accept that it's going to be really hard and painful at times.
Yeah.
And for me, I used to resist feeling frustrated, upset, angry, anxious, depressed, whatever it was within the context of what was happening in the business. And it made it so much harder because I was constantly fighting with reality. Mm-hmm. And it just like, as much as I fought with it, it never changed. You know what I mean? I just felt worse.
Yeah.
And as soon as I just accepted and just kind of like, I don't know, I have this like visual of myself just like bathing in the shit of it, like not actually bathing in shit, that sounds awful, but like just like immersing myself into water. And that's like the bad feelings are the water. And I just like let myself fall into it. It just feels so much easier. I'm just like, this sucks. And I accept that it sucks. And it goes away so much faster that way.
Yeah. I still find I have like that instinctual reaction when something goes wrong. I'm just like, what the how is this happening right now? But when you kind of finally 48 hours, hopefully cool down a bit, you're like, all right, I'm going to be better off because of this. I just got to accept what's going on, accept these circumstances. Let's just put the action plan together and like move forward from this. But
totally.
It's tricky. And it really, I think beyond just making it easier, I think with just the sheer amount of decisions going on and portfolio companies you have and the stuff that we're both doing, it almost becomes a requirement if you're going to stay in the game. It's like, or else you just have way too much going on that you care way too much about. You just won't survive.
Oh, dude, you're like a ball of stress if you do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's just, I never want to be that. I totally agree. I think it's like, you just won't make it. You'll opt out is what you'll do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what happens. People get to the point where it's like, they do care too deeply about too many things and then they opt out. They're like, the business drove me to drink, or the business drove me to this and so I had to quit. And I'm like, or you could have just dealt with how you manage your feelings and your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it starts with that. It's like, what's our relationship with how we're feeling and our relationship with the thoughts we're having about our business? And if you can come to terms and be at peace with both of those things, I think it makes it much easier.